This is the Voice of First Nation Ministries, dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Indian tribes of the United States, Canada, and Mexico. And now here are your hosts, Deborah Klein and Marv Betcher. We'll pick up where we left off yesterday as Debbie continues her teaching about the problems we encounter in our Christian walk, and this week we're looking specifically at sin and sacrifice. Now here's Debbie.
A song of praise and thanksgiving, a song of joy. So her song begins with the words, "My heart rejoices in the Lord." Now, that's the whole thing right there. When we rejoice in the Lord and not in our circumstances, then we can truly rejoice. Our heart will sing and dance and get us through dreary days, and it will not be pulled downward by tragedy or loss. When the source of our joy is God and not our husbands or our friends or our children, then we can discover true happiness, because that's the only place that we're going to have it. God is joy, and He's with us all the time. He never gets old. He never dies. He never goes on holiday. He never divorces us or rejects us. And so Hannah left Samuel behind at Shiloh, but God opened the door to her when she got home. But then, you know, God is the one who gives us laughter, right? Have you ever been in a situation where you thought you'd never laugh again? I have. When my son died, I thought, oh my goodness, I'll never be happy again.
I thought the world had came to the end.
Yes. And of course, Satan is right there to tell you, yeah, you're right. Life will never be good again. But God created us for laughter. He gave us the muscles in our face to smile and to laugh. God must have smiled when He created this universe and this world. It says, the Bible says He looked on it and it was good. Probably had a smile and said, yeah. And so Hannah discovered that God is not only the giver of laughter, but He gives life as well. And we have to believe this too, because otherwise our prayers will have no meaning. What is your prayer, folks, my teammates? Do you need life in a dying marriage? Do you need life in a child that's sick and maybe going to die? Do you need life in a church that's dying or a faith that's dying? 1 Samuel 2:6 says, "The Lord brings death and makes alive." And so if we don't believe that God is the giver of life and the giver of laughter, then there's no chance that anybody we're trying to minister will believe it either. If they can't see it in us, we might as well just shut our pie hole, because nobody else is going to believe it. God is not only the giver of life and laughter, but of liberty. Hannah said in 1 Samuel 2:8-3, "He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by Him deeds are weighed." Now, let's think about this. She had just left Samuel in the hands of Eli and his sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And the Bible talks about these sons. The Bible says that Eli's sons were worthless fellows and wicked men. There would have been a lot of people, I'm sure, in Israel that would have questioned her judgment. You know, what are you doing leaving this little child with an old man and his wicked sons? What are you thinking? But God is the giver of liberty, liberty to do the right thing, no matter how it looks to us, no matter what people say about it. And there's joy in this liberty. It's an abandonment that frees us to sing, to be free of the bondage of what other people think and what other people will say. That's liberty. And so her husband said to Hannah, "Do what you think is best." He gave her the freedom to stay home and wean the child, and he gave her the freedom to take Samuel to Shiloh when the time came, and she found the courage to keep her word to the Lord. Do we keep our vows to the Lord? The Bible talks about how we should not promise things to the Lord. It's just better not to say that we're going to do something than to say to God that we will do something and then break that vow.
That's right.
So we need to be careful. It's always harder to do the right thing when we think somebody who we love, who's near and dear to us, is going to get hurt. And Samuel was her husband's son too, remember? His only son from his favorite wife. And what about Samuel himself? He was very young, you know, at the oldest, probably 5 years old, and maybe younger than that. And so can you imagine what it must have been like for little Samuel to be left by his mother? And Hannah had to return home without him and face the other wife's, the triumphant look on her face. Now she's childless again. And I'm probably wife number two, reminded her. That's usually how it works. But God, the Bible says, is the one who takes pity on the poor and raises them up. He's the one who looks at the beggar and lifts him high. So I'm sure Hannah felt poor. Her biggest treasure was gone from her. And she was able only to cast herself on the Lord for help. And there comes a time when nobody can help us but God. Nobody can fully understand but God. And he's always there for us. And so he was there for Hannah. We have to remember, too, that he's the one we're going to answer to. We have to give an account to him. He's the one who heard the vow that we made. Maybe in the quiet of our bedroom or the shadow of a church pew. And he has recorded our promise. And he's the one who waits for us to give our Samuel because we said we would. Teammate, what have you promised to the Lord? Did you promise to read your Bible every day and spend time with him in prayer? Have you promised him money? Was there a mission project that you promised to support? Did you promise to serve in Sunday school or be a youth sponsor, be on the church board? Did you promise him your life, your soul, everything? Did you lay your Isaac down? No one is saying that you can keep your vow without sacrifice. Hannah went to Shiloh with her baby boy and her sacrifice. It's recorded in 1 Samuel 1, 24 and 25. But the sacrifice speaks of liberty too. We are free to bring the gift and the sacrifice, or we're free to stay at home and bring nothing. It's our choice. But once we have promised God a gift and a sacrifice, then we're no longer free to withhold it. Other people may judge us when we stay home or whether we go to Shiloh. They'll probably judge you either way you go because that's how people are. But God is the only one true judge. He's the one who our actions will be put on trial before him. He knows if we keep our promises. No one probably would have known if Hannah didn't take Samuel when he was weaned, but God would have known. And he was waiting for Samuel at Shiloh. God knows what it means to give your only son. He did it. Let's just look at what happened because she kept her vow. God didn't get rid of wife number two, but he did bless Hannah in very special ways. He blessed her with more children. God kind of said thank you in his own way. And her story isn't a happily ever after, but I have to believe that Hannah was content and joyful. Happiness, I'm not much on happiness. That's just an emotion that comes and goes. Who knows what causes happiness? But contentment and joy and peace, those are things, gifts that come from God. And if we will keep our promise to him, we'll have that. Is there some action that you're absolutely sure God wants you to take? Only you and God really know what vows you have made. But I encourage you to do the right thing. You might be monetarily poorer because of it. You might be criticized because of it. It isn't being irresponsible. People will tell you, well, that's irresponsible, but it isn't. You're following through on a vow that you made to God. Have you made a vow to keep your children under God's teaching, the teaching of the Word? Did you promise to have your kids in church? And maybe you thought, well, the church is too cold, or the people are hypocrites, or maybe the pastor isn't the best one around. Do your kids cling to you when you try to leave them in Sunday school? Because they're too young and immature to understand that maybe it isn't the easiest thing, but it's the right thing for them to be hearing teaching about Jesus and the Heavenly Father. The bottom line is have you kept your promise to God? It's a serious thing to make a promise to God and then not keep it. That's what I'm trying to get through. And if you do keep your promise, God will bless you. I promise you, He will bless you. Samuel grew up fine. He grew up under Eli's teaching. He came to know the Lord, and he went on to become one of Israel's most famous and godly leaders. And Hannah went home from the temple rejoicing, singing her song, because when we relinquish, when we give up, it leads to rejoicing, and obedience leads to freedom. It does. And sacrifice leads to the fullness of life and the blessings for the ones that we love the best. It doesn't make sense. You know, the world will tell you that doesn't make sense. That's crazy. But God's ways are not our ways. And the way to happiness is obedience. Obedience, faith and obedience. Faith in God and obedience to what He shows you and tells you to do. Obedience to His word. Those are the secrets to our joy and our peace and our contentment and our blessing. I promise you. Well, we're out of time. God bless you. Join us next week.
Thank you for listening to First Nation Ministries, where our mission is to reach Native Americans with the gospel of Jesus Christ while also helping with their daily physical needs. If you share our hearts in this ministry, we ask you to first pray for us, and then if you're able, to help us with the expenses associated with our work, including the costs of radio airtime, which can add up rather quickly. We thank you so much for your help and invite you to listen to the contact information at the close of the program.
I love to tell the story.
Please write for the First Nation Ministries newsletter and help us continue to reach the Indian tribes with the message of Jesus Christ through your prayers and financial gifts. Write to us at First Nation Ministries, Post Office Box 30055, Portland, Oregon 97294. That's Post Office Box 30055, Portland, Oregon 97294. You can also call us at 503-408-2391. That's 503-408-2391. Or visit our website, firstnationministries.org.